Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. It is always good to be with you. I look forward to these times. I hope that they are a blessing to you as they are for me. I hope that they give you encouragement and strength and guidance. I hope that they draw you closer to the Lord, enable you to trust Him more, strengthen you in your walk. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible because, again, they're such a blessing to me. Well, I hope that you're having a good day. As I'm filming this today, it's cloudy and overcast, but at least it's not raining. It's been raining for most of a week now, but at least it's cooler than it was over the summer. And we're obviously transitioning to the fall. Look, beautiful time of the year. It's fun to watch the seasons change. But, you know, more than anything else, it's always good to meet with our Lord and know that He's the one who made this day, the one who rules over it, the one who wants us to know Him and has given us this time. And so before we open His Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day that You've given to us. Father, we're thankful for the rain that You have sent. Father, we're thankful today that it's not raining this day, Lord. Father, we're just thankful, Lord, to see the seasons change, just to see Your hand at work, to see Your wonderful creation. And Father, we are thankful to be before You, the true and living God. Father, thank You for Your Word that You have inspired, that You reveal Yourself to us through it. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Lord God, we want to know You. Father, quicken us, give us understanding, but oh God, open our spiritual ears to hear from You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we open God's Word, we come to a topic that is commonly often talked about in our times, and that is the fact the topic of wisdom, or the topic of worship. Excuse me. I know we talk about worship today. Usually most of our conversation and talk goes about the style, the form, the music, even how you dress going to it, the atmosphere of the worship service. All of those conversations, you know, are being had today. And yet this psalm takes us deeper than that. This psalm takes us to the essential requirements of worship. Essential requirements that if we really follow what's here, it will help answer all of those questions, put them in their right perspective, their right priority, and help to answer them. And so as we look at this psalm, what we find is what is truly, genuinely needed in worship. And we begin in an area that is seldom discussed in terms of worship and understanding worship, and yet it must in fact be the starting place for true worship. And that is number one, the right concept of God. You know, that's the most important logical place to begin, but it's hardly ever considered. But yet you think about what we read in verses 1 through 6. Again, Psalm 50, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before Him, and it's very tempestuous around Him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge His people. Gather my godly ones to me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judged. You know, there is so much in those verses. There are so many things to look at, both individually and also collectively. But you think of the qualities, the attributes of God that we see described there, the description. You just list them out. You know, in verse 1, we see that God is almighty, nothing limiting His power. He is sovereign. He is the ruler over all. You go into verse 20, it talks about, or verse 2, it talks about His beauty. Talking about just His very person, who He is, from His heart out, so to speak, how God is in fact beautiful. You go into verse 3, it talks about His glory, His justice, His judgment. You go into verses 4 and 5, and you see His authority, and again, His judgment. You look at verse 6, you see His righteousness. Now, you think about those individually, collectively. Those are descriptions of the true living God. And, you know, quite frankly, even that is limited by our language capacity and our ability to comprehend, because there's no way that we can even begin to comprehend or imagine who God is. But the simple truth of the matter is, if what we call worship is not based on this concept of God, this understanding, even this basic fundamental level of understanding of who God is, it's not genuine worship. No matter, you know, what kind of an emotional impact it might have on us, whether it lifts us up or causes us to cry, no matter how many people may come to it, the reality is, if it's not based on a God as He has revealed Himself to be in those verses, and they're just the beginning, they're just the very initial concept, it's really not worship. Because what it does is it brings in a concept of God that is far less than what He is, so far below Him that, quite frankly, it's idolatrous. It is a concept of God that we see described over in the very middle of verse 21, where God said, "You thought I was just like you." And unfortunately, many times, especially in our generation, that is the concept we have of God, that He's just like us, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit smarter, maybe has a little bit more power and influence, but He's just like us. The reality is, He is nothing like us, or we better state it, we're nothing like Him. This great, glorious God. And the importance of this is very simple to understand. Our worship of God will never, ever, ever rise above our concept of God. And if we have a concept of God that is so low, that is less than even these bare qualities that are described here, again, we don't have a concept of the true living God. What we have is an idol of our own making. And what we're calling worship is, in fact, nothing but idolatry. We must build our worship on a concept of God being as He has in fact revealed Himself to be. And this is probably the key problem for the modern church. Every other problem that you see really finds its root here. When we stop seeing God as He has revealed Himself to be, we are in decline. We're on the road away from God. And no matter what it is that we call worship, it never will be. We need the right concept of God. Think with me. When you think of God, and the late A.W. Tozer once observed that what a man thinks about God is the single most important thing about him. When you think about God, what do you really think about? This great one, as He's revealed Himself, not just in these six verses, but throughout His Word? Or is it a lower image that you have come up with? Real worship? Worship that's acceptable unto God is based upon a concept of God as He's revealed Himself to be. We need the right concept of God. But not only do we need the right concept of God, but building upon that is obviously the second part, number two, the right response to God. Well, if we see God, even just in these terms, and we have the whole scriptures to add to that, but even just based on those descriptions that we see in the first six verses, what kind of a response should we have? Well, as we look at this, we see that there's the response of authenticity. Look at verses 7 through 15. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle in 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you, and you will honor me." Did you see what the problem was? It wasn't that they had stopped going to worship, because it was clear they still were going to, quote, worship services. It wasn't that they had stopped sacrificing animals, because it's clear that they had continued offering the sacrifices. So they were still going to worship services. They were still offering sacrifices. But the problem was the fact it wasn't real or authentic to them. They were just going through the motions. God didn't accept that. To be blunt, God didn't need it. I mean, we need to understand, God does not need us. Wants us, but he does not need us. And he even spoke about that in terms of the animals of the sacrifices. God said, I didn't need them. And if I didn't need them, I wouldn't tell you. I mean, and you think about how we miss this in our thinking. I mean, you think about these people, and we sometimes think or say something similar, though we don't do animal sacrifice. You know, I am giving this to God. Really? It was his to begin with. It wouldn't exist if he hadn't made it. He owns everything. We're only, quote, giving to God what he has brought into existence and allowed us to have. It's his. What God is wanting is the authentic heart before him. Look at verses 14 through 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will rescue you and you will honor me. He wants authenticity. He also wants, closely related to that, sincerity. Look at what we see in verses 16 through 21. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell me to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silence. You thought I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Again, they were still going to, quote, worship, but their lives were completely untouched by it. They hated discipline. They rebelled and rejected the word. They admired and associated with sinners. They spoke wickedly. They lied. They slandered. And they thought that, you know, God didn't care because up till that moment, God had not yet judged them. Again, verse 21, these things you have done and I kept silence. You thought I was just like you. I'll reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes because God had not yet lowered the boom on them, so to speak. They thought everything was okay. They went to worship, but it had no real impact on their life. You think about the times of worship that you've had, even recently, whether corporate, you know, in the fellowship that you're a part of, privately, your own devotion time, and I hope you have one of those each day. When God spoke through his word, did you listen? Did you take it in? Did you apply it? Did you obey it? If it required some change, did you do it? If it revealed some sin, did you confess it and seek God's grace and power to repent of it and to change? Were you genuinely sincere before the Lord? Did you really want to hear from him and act upon what he said? Genuine worship, it requires authenticity. It requires sincerity. Did you honestly, truly seek to know, to follow, and to listen to our Lord? But then notice what else he wants. See, he wants humble trust. Look at verses 22 through 23. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. So much is there. The humbling of self before God, the dealing with sin through confession, repentance, the trust, the thanksgiving, all of it by his grace. But it is that attitude that makes genuine worship. To be in a position, and to even be in a position to make decisions about what worship ought to be. That simple, humble trust. That is the basis of the worship that God accepts. Now I want you to think about that, the authenticity, the sincerity, the humble trust, all of it built upon a biblical concept of God. Not that we'll ever fully understand Him, but that we're always seeking to, with the most biblically accurate view of God that we can grasp from the scriptures up to this moment. Is that what you're calling worship? Is that the framework that you use to evaluate worship? You know, you go to worship service and, you know, and it goes through your mind, was this good, was this bad? Is this the framework that you use to make that decision? At church, yes. Your devotion time, again, I hope you have one. Moment by moment as you walk with the Lord, worshiping in your heart as you live, is this how that worship is based? And is this how it's in fact evaluated? Let's make sure that the worship we offer to God is worship that He finds acceptable. Let's go to Him in prayer. Fathers, we're before You. Lord, You are the true and living and almighty God, righteous, holy, pure, a God who is light and in whom there is no darkness, a God of love and mercy and grace, a God beyond our comprehension. Father, may who You are be the foundation of our thinking as we begin thinking about worship. And, O Lord, based upon who You are, may we come before You in authenticity, in sincerity, and, O Lord God, in humble trust. And by coming through those, O Lord, may we truly be acceptable in Your sight and offer worship in our moment-by-moment living, in our prayer times, in our time of corporate worship with a fellowship. O Lord God, may You be pleased and honored and draw close to us, Lord, because we have pleased You. Father, be with us through the day, and may we live in an attitude of worship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through the rest of this day that you'll go in an attitude of worship. Whatever you're doing this day for the rest of today, whether it's work or chores or other responsibilities, or even having a time of relaxation or a time of fun, so to speak, that you'll have a heart of worship, a life of worship that pleases and honors God that He accepts. Look forward to our next time being together, and I pray that between now and then that you'll have a wonderful week with the Lord.